in 2220, a remote outpost on a distant natural satellite orbiting a gas giant was set up by a private space program. The colony was about the size of a rural town, possessing habitation units for scientists and crew, a meeting building to congregate and talk to mission control, and a landing pad which served as the outpost spaceport. The purpose of the outpost was to learn of the gas giant's history and seek potential resources, possibly open the colony to future tourism, and study the various points of interest across the planet and the satellite. The program would operate on a rotational basis. Every month, a new crew would replace the old to ensure that the base was operational and that the crews would be able to spend time back home with their loved ones. An easy and useful system that went on for a while with no complaints, no issues, and no emergencies. But as the saying goes, nothing lasts forever. And the outpost was certainly no exception. 13 years later, in 2233, and not long after construction of the research facility was finished, tragedy, like a scene straight out of a nightmare, struck when a corpse was found outside the base. The body, torn to pieces and mangled beyond repair, its spacesuit torn to shreds. When officials asked what the problem was, the answer was anything but ordinary and typical. Terror instilled in the administration. The distressed space explorers and scientists stationed on the town-sized colony claimed to be attacked by unknown creatures that they had never seen before. After the scientists stationed on the outpost began investigating who or what killed their comrade, another 3 bodies were found. Each of them in a similar state to the first, beyond recognizable, and their clothes torn to shreds. The only difference with these 3 is that they were found dead within the base's walls. And it was then that the occupants of the outpost realized that something unintelligent may have been responsible. But what could have done this? Eventually, a rescue mission was sent towards the colony, once their status had gone off the radar, to retrieve any survivors and gather any remaining data. The rescue team sent a warning back to Eos, the voice in the recording telling no one to venture to the moon's surface, followed by a scream, the sounds of people dying, and finally, silence. Sometime later, the story leaked out into the media and found its way into Astrian society. A ghost tale told by friends and family alike to frighten one another. Though the corporation that ran the program never confirmed nor denied the incident and carried a very hands-off approach with it. Fast forward several years later, and it's now 2241. Times have changed, and every now and then the tale of that ill-fated crew will make its way into everyone's stories. Most people think that what's on the planet is just a silly story, but I assure you, it's anything but fictional. I know this because I was a member of the space crew sent to the abandoned outpost to not only retrieve data lost within its walls, but to also learn the truth of what had happened. And what we found was beyond my comprehension and understanding of life in the universe. Just thinking about those things still gives me nightmares. So much so that as a result, I was temporarily grounded from deep spaceflight for a time until I recover, both physically and mentally. As of me telling this, it's been a year since I got back. My name is Jun, and I'm an astronaut and a pilot for a space program under an Astrian aerospace conglomerate, a company that made a profit manufacturing everything from spaceships, suits, and other technologies, all used in the space industry across Eos for pilots, both commercial and freelance. To be brief about myself, I'm a human born and raised on the alien world of Eos. My birth parents died in an accident when I was a year old. Everyone I know besides me, from my adoptive parents and my sisters, are all Astrian. I'm the only human in the family. Nevertheless, they raised and loved me as one of their own. As such, I've been around other humans, never been to Earth or any of the five other settled human worlds. But I won't bore you with those details. Instead, I'll get straight to the point. How, instead of completing what was supposed to be a simple mission, I found death. July 2240 AD. The ship glided through the light blue tunnel around it, faster than any moving object could keep up as it continued in a straight line towards its destination. Our destination. I could feel the thumps and shakes of the ship's exterior, the vibrations of the seat through the legs of my spacesuit. I held my breath for most of the jump. There were four of us all together. Myself, the pilot of the craft, our commander Amber, and two flight engineers, Chino and Ivan. Each of us wore the same matching white and gray one-piece jumpsuits, with the space program's logo and flag of Eos on our shoulders.
Coming up on the site soon,
I said to the commander.
Good work. Ivan, our nav status?
Online,
he replied.
Ready when you are.
Jun, count it out for us. Roger, exiting jump space in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The blue tunnel disappeared, and in its place, the blackness of space. The light from the star millions of miles behind us, and under our ship, a moon orbiting a gas giant. Its gray and grainy texture in full detail of our cameras. The planet it orbited was a large, intimidating red ball of hydrogen gas. Judging by the scans on my screen, the moon was inside the planet's magnetic shield, which appeared to be massive, slightly larger than Eos's, and cosmic rays seeming to bounce off the invisible wall of gravity around the planet.
That's our target,
Amber stated.
We'll head into a parking orbit and switch over to the lander soon after.
I remember as Amber was issuing the plan. I'd only been half paying attention to what she was saying. Most of my focus was diverted to the moon below us. There was something off about it. An inner voice pulling at my gut and telling me that it wasn't a place meant for us. Nothing in the mission brief mentioned anything we should worry about. But as far as I've known, I've always had a sense of what could go wrong. Hell, that was one of the reasons I was picked for the mission.
Jen!
I snapped back to reality at Amber's voice, unstrapping my seatbelt and floating within the zero gravity of the cockpit.
Sorry,
I said.
You've been awfully quiet for most of the trip,
Ivan commented.
Don't tell me that simulation crash is getting to you.
Leave him alone, Ivan,
Chino added.
He's doing just fine.
My crew was considerably older than me. Amber acts as sort of the mom of the team, Ivan the younger brother, and Chino somewhere in the middle. I wasn't too fond of being the youngest and newest, but they weren't entirely smothering to me. After floating down to the second level of the cockpit, we prepared to begin the mission. The initial plan was to take a small lander from the ship's cargo bay down to the surface while the mothership stayed in orbit around the moon. Once the mission was complete, we would take off from the lander and dock with the mothership in orbit, which would be run by an AI while we conducted our duty. I remember slipping on my spacesuit and helmet, getting into the airlock that led into the lander, and priming the systems for the spacecraft separation. The entire process took only 20 minutes, counting the systems checks, before we separated from the ship. I gripped the controls firmly, slowly piloting the lander down towards a low lunar orbit.
All right, descent smooth. Ivan, what's our altitude? 500 feet, going down to 450. Commander, I'm picking up something from within the base.
Ivan's words caught me off guard as I glanced back at him, my grasp still on the stick as I gently lowered our altitude. Eventually getting to 10 feet from the surface, the gray, powdery dust beginning to kick up and surround the base of the lander, at long last, we touch down just a few feet away from the outpost.
Touchdown. Engine shut down,
I said.
Fuel is at 10%. We should be good. Great touchdown, Jun,
Amber replied.
All right, suit up and let's get to work.
We pulled on our EVA suits that were attached to a nearby wall and activated the life support systems before depressurizing the cabin. Ivan pulled the door open to reveal the outside. The crater-filled vacuum of the moon. I was the first to step down from the lander and begin to make my way towards the outpost. A large complex resembling a small city of different buildings and openings situated in an open crater. The only means of accessibility was a staircase that descended down towards the entrance. I stepped through the metallic entrance and pressurized the small space before opening the door into the outpost. We arrived at a desolate, dark, and diminished lobby area, devoid of any signs of life. Chairs and papers scattered about the floor, the screen overhead smashed to pieces, and light bulbs broken. Ivan flipped on a nearby switch to illuminate whatever light was still functioning. The result was a half-dark room with the halls partially lit on their sides.
This place is huge, so we'll split up to cover more ground. Ivan, go with Shino to the control room. Look for anything valuable. Drives, data packs, you know the drill. Jun, with me.
Fine by me. Try to keep up, rookie.
Ivan replied, causing me to roll my eyes in disgust. We each nodded in agreement and went our separate ways. I followed Amber through a corridor lined with pipes and wires along the walls. There were no windows to show the outside, and the deafening silence got to me further. I couldn't help but feel that something was wrong in this place, given its dreary appearance. What could have turned a once thriving colony into a ghost town? As we walked down the long corridor, I heard what sounded like bumps and footsteps coming from above me, from within the vents that lined the ceiling. I looked back at my commander, who continued walking while I stopped. Looking back up at the vent, my heart skipped a beat, and my voice froze. There was a face looking down at me through the vent. A masculine face with cuts and deformed features. Gray filled the sockets where its eyes were supposed to be. Topping everything off was a set of canine teeth and blood covering its mouth.
Ah!
I uttered. My commander stopped in her tracks, turning around to see my action. I had drawn my pistol and aimed it at the vent, prepared to fire, but I was too late. The hideous figure within had vanished before I could pull the trigger. How? I had it. Why didn't I shoot? Amber walked over to me and asked what happened. I lowered my gun and averted her stern gaze, trying to find an answer. My thoughts were all over the place as I struggled to speak.
There was something at the vents. Look.
She glanced up, but saw what I could see. Nothing. Looking down at me, she frowned and told me to get a hold of myself, saying there was nothing there and that the ride must have taken its toll on me. I knew she was only doing her job, but what I saw was real. We were being hunted by something in this place.
Look, I know you're new, but understand that this is field work. Can't have you losing it on me out here. We were sent to complete a task, and I'm going to make sure we do just that.
I was angry at her for blowing off my claim. Scoffing, I placed my handgun away and continued down the corridor. Amber tried to stop me, but I smacked her hand away. If she didn't believe me, then I would just have to look out for the both of us. I could tell by the look on her face that she was a bit upset. But regardless, we continued. We arrived at an old tech lab, where in contrast to the other rooms, it was in perfect condition. No damage to the walls or any instruments had been done. This struck me off guard for a second, but considering the door to the room was locked and impenetrable, it wasn't too surprising. I walked towards one of the computers and was able to switch it on. I was greeted with the sights of charts, maps, and other bits of data that I tried to decipher. Scrolling through the pages, I skimmed through the information, trying to formulate a sense of what I was reading. Experiments being done by a Dr. Jal, appeared over and over. Pictures of a corpse being dissected and blood covered an operating table. Eventually, I found a document containing a log by the doctor himself. In the text, he mentioned something about his team finding a corpse in one of the many craters of the surface. A creature in a suspended animation that he brought back to the base to study.
Huh, weird. The program never mentioned this,
I said to myself. I could feel Amber step up behind me.
Find anything? Something about an experiment done by this doctor. Look.
I showed her the document.
Experiments?
She questioned.
These pages are the doctor's notes. A personal log he kept regarding some experiments done on something him and a team found in a crater. These documents were written a month ago, last year,
Amber said.
If that's the case, then what were they trying to do?
Amber's sentence was cut off by the blood-curdling scream of Shino in the distance, from somewhere deep within the base. Her scream penetrating the very walls around us, and instilling within me a deep fear for the worst. We rushed out of the tech lab and down the hall to where the scream was heard. My heartbeat rose wildly as I didn't know what to expect when we got there. A part of me praying that it was just a misunderstanding.
Shino,
I shouted.
Where are you guys? Get back, now!
She screamed.
I said get back!
We arrived at the site according to her beacon that led us to the medical bay of the station. And what we saw was beyond my reckoning. Ivan was on the ground, pushing something away that tried to bite at his face. Something inhuman and non-Astrian that paralyzed any sense of rational thinking within me. Its legs and arms disproportionately long, and its skin a moldy gray. The chest was exposed, revealing its ribcage, and the eyes were an intimidating yellow. A set of canine teeth filled its mouth, and blood covered its claws and toes. It tried to bite at Ivan before I, without thinking, took a nearby chair and smacked it across the room. As it got up, I opened fire with the pistol in my hand, unloading 3 rounds into its chest and head. The bullets disoriented him for a split second, yet it somehow recovered and pounced towards me. I dodged out of the way for Amber to strike at the creature with a kick of her own. We each unloaded our weapons into the creature several times before it finally died, its body collapsing onto the metallic floor and a pool of blood forming around it.
What the hell was that?
Ivan shouted. None of us could respond. I knew we were all thinking the same thing.
Was that one of the previous crew?
I muttered. All of my teammates looked at me, confused at my words. It was the only rational thing I could muster, considering the incident. The document I skimmed through earlier in the tech lab came to mind as I tried to answer my team. Before I could speak, though, an alarm had gone off. One that seemed to shake the very walls of the base and warn us of an impending danger, drawing ever so closer. My suspicions were confirmed, for just as the alarms began, the screeches of that creature pierced my ears. We turned to see it standing within the doorframe, followed by 5 others like it.
This way,
I shouted. I led my team out of the room and down the nearest corridor. Behind us, I could hear the feet of those creatures following us through the dark, strobing halls. Their grunts and echoes becoming closer and closer, resembling that of wild animals chasing their prey. We reached the end of the hall and barricaded ourselves in a room that happened to be a galley. Upon locking the door and calming ourselves, Amber issued her statement to everyone. As she talked, I could faintly hear the creatures passing the door outside.
Okay, listen up. We're clearly not alone in this place, and whatever those things are, their only objective seems to be to kill us. Regardless, we need to finish the mission. Those things, they were the crew.
My team then turned in my direction as I took off my helmet to release a breath of air, placing my gun back in my holster. Amber asked me what I meant. I told them about my own theory regarding the creatures, that I believe that they were the remains of the previous crew sent to Celeste. I theorized that something must have been exposed to the crew, and that whatever it was, spread like wildfire and found its way to infecting all personnel.
That document I read mentioned something about an experiment,
I said.
I think that those things may be connected to it. You're saying that this was some type of infection?
Ivan asked.
Why the hell haven't we heard about it before? You know of any sensitive information that the companies wouldn't mind leaking out?
I replied. He scoffed and looked away.
All right, whether or not it's true, we still need a way out. So listen up.
Amber added. Using her wrist computer, she displayed a hologram of the base, zooming in for further detail of the interior.
Here we are. Our destination is the server room, where all the base's data and information are stored. And it's where we're headed. If we can get there, we'll be able to access the data we need. We can't seriously be going through with this,
Ivan said.
Those things nearly took my damn head off, and you want to put the mission first? The data room. It's by the cargo bay, isn't it?
I asked Amber. She replied with a nod.
Cargo bay?
Shino questioned.
And why would we need to go? Rovers. We can grab one and get back to the lander,
I replied before Amber continued.
Exactly. Two birds with one stone. But there's a catch. The servers are located underneath the base, and based off the map of the facility, there's only a single elevator that'll take us down there. One where we'll have to fight through those things to get to. All the other exits and airlocks are probably blocked off by those things, so this room, as of now, is our only means of escape.
I nodded in agreement at Amber's plan, taking into consideration that, although it was a dangerous path before us, part of me had to figure out the truth. There was something about this that didn't seem right, something itching at the back of my mind that told me to investigate. And getting to the server room just may answer my questions. We gathered our bearings and departed the room through an air vent, one large enough for us to fit through. The corridor was silent for the most part, but every few moments I felt as though I could hear the sounds of claws scratching within the ceilings above us. The alarms had long been silenced, and thanks to the map I had on my own wrist, we were making progress towards the elevator. Celeste was a large base the size of a small colony, with various buildings interconnected by pressurized tunnels to allow for easy movement. Each of the now desolate buildings abandoned, save for the creatures that hunted us.
Commander, might I ask your opinion on this?
Shino said.
Don't you think it's weird that the top wasn't familiar with this? Perhaps. Why? I just find it odd how no one knew about these things. They say this base was closed due to a rescue party never returning, but never confirmed why. Well, clearly those freaks were the reason,
Ivan added.
Hell, if anything, we'll ask questions when we get back.
As we walked through the dimly lit corridor, I skimmed over the document I obtained earlier in the tech lab, trying to figure out a rational explanation as to what was happening. It was only about 3 pages long, and didn't provide much past explaining that the experiments were happening. Aside from that, it could barely even be called a full report. More like a diary entry, if I were being honest. We arrived at another cross-section of the base that led us into another large room. Judging by the sign, it was a mess hall. Stacking up at a door, I peeked through the glass window to check for signs of hostiles.
I think we're good,
I said. Ivan opened the door, and we stepped inside. Weapons aimed high and scanned the room filled with tables and chairs. Nothing. I walked over to one of the tables when my foot kicked an empty can across the floor, sending a low echo through the room. The next thing I remember was hearing metal breaking, and before I knew it, those things had arrived again, emerging through the vents of the room and from behind a few doors ahead of us. Each of them possessed the same features, exposed rib cages and claws, bloody and mangled bodies that trekked towards us as we were noticing and displaying an unthinkable amount of gore and violence. Amber gave the order to fire, and so we did. Bullets flew across the room, gunning down the creatures that fell one by one, some of them continuing their chase by crawling across the floor. One grabbed my leg, causing me to stomp it repeatedly before it finally died.
Jen,
Amber shouted. I turned around to see one of them try to pounce onto me, its claws ready to devour and kill me. However, just as luck would have it, Ivan smacked it away with one of the chairs to keep me from getting attacked. After finishing it off, I could spot Shino on the far end of the room, beside a door, trying to open it as she gunned down another creature.
Everyone through here,
she shouted.
Now!
Running towards the door that led out of the mess hall, I followed Shino through it, with the others trailing behind me. Another corridor leading us in an unknown direction into the base. After some running for what seemed like an eternity, we found a set of stairs that descended to a lower level of the base. Jumping down the stairs, I spotted an elevator door. One that I wasn't familiar with, and pressed the button to start the contraption. The others arrived just as the door opened. All except for Ivan, who was still at the top of the stairs, using a large metal bar to keep the creatures away from us. Amber shouted at him to hurry, but he declined. I could see why. He was injured, as I could spot blood dripping from his suit, the creature's claws penetrating his body, and his face was slashed. Adding to this, he was holding the entire weight of the creatures, pushing against the door with only the bar keeping them from entering. Bangs and shrieks from the room we had fled filled my ears with an almost deafening sound. I tried to rush to Ivan's side, only to be ordered by him to stay back.
Go, get out of here,
he screamed towards us as those horrendous parasites slashed away at the door.
Tell them what we found. We're not just going to leave you,
Shino replied. The door continued to come apart, their claws emerging from the crack and sinking into Ivan's suit.
There's no time to argue. Make sure no one comes back here.
Another claw severed one of his arms, causing a scream to escape his lips.
Go!
I was completely silent at the sight of our crewmate making the sacrifice, giving us a chance to escape by knowingly throwing himself into the line of fire. It was all so overwhelming to me as I turned to my commander, who ordered me and Shino into the elevator. I hesitated at first, to the point where she grabbed me by the collar and pulled me into the small cart. The doors closed instantly, and we could only watch as Ivan was devoured alive at the top of the stairs, fighting, shooting, doing everything he could until he was eventually swarmed by those things on all sides, enveloped by their grotesque bodies. Once it was quiet, I collapsed onto the elevator floor to contemplate the grisly trauma that had transpired. Shino began to softly cry. I placed an arm around her for comfort. Even though she was older than me, I felt it only necessary to try and calm her.
He's dead,
Shino commented.
I don't understand. What the hell are those things?
Our commander was silent, shocked just as we were, and likely having thought after thought run through her mind. I could tell by the look on her face that Amber was just as scared as Shino was. Yet she continuously tried to push down her fear and keep a brave face, one that would give us hope and probably push a team to continue marching forward. In her case, that team was us.
Then let's make sure his death wasn't in vain,
Amber replied.
Hey, keep your head. If we lose it now, then we're no closer to getting out of here. Understand?
Shino nodded. Amber turned towards me.
Jen?
I hadn't said much during the entire altercation. Both shock and terror froze the sound in my throat after witnessing Ivan's death firsthand. But I didn't lose myself like one would normally think. Nevertheless, the grisly madness that surrounded me was agonizing, and I struggled to hide it from my team as a cold cloud surrounded my aura. As if I had witnessed a scene of utter madness. The show of a living, intelligent person being mutilated and devoured stuck with me like a leech. The elevator cart let out a ring, indicating that we were close to the bottom. As I stood, my legs felt like noodles. Trying to stay up and keep the fear out of my chest, I took several breaths before cocking back my pistol and reloading it, while at the same time trying not to drop it.
John,
Amber said, placing her hands on my cheeks.
Look at me. We're going to get out of here, okay? Yeah,
I replied, letting out a deep breath.
Those things won't stop till we're dead. For Ivan and everyone else, we have to find out what started all this.
The elevator came to a slow stop, and the door opened to another lower level of the base. Not the one we had to be at, but one that brought us further away from the creatures. It was an engineering room, in disarray and unorganized. Cabinets hung open and computer screens dusted from months of inactivity. I raised my pistol and walked through the equipment-cluttered space. I could spot empty bags of food and drinks emerging from around the corner. Looking at the source, I spotted a skeleton. Dressed in science clothes and propped up against the wall on the floor, the flesh and muscles of its host long rotted and stripped away from the bone.
Crap,
I said to myself. I knelt and slowly grabbed the ID badge from its neck. I gasped for a moment upon reading the name.
Oh, no. What?
Amber asked, rushing towards me.
Jen, what?
I looked up at her as I showed her the name on the ID. Dr. Ken Jal. Dr. Jal. The very author of the document I found in that lab earlier. The very one who may hold clues as to what was happening. I deduced that maybe when the outbreak occurred, the doctor barricaded himself in this room, waiting out his days until his supplies were eventually exhausted. Trapped in an underworld surrounded by demons with no means of escape, his corpse, now nothing but a rotting pile of bones, serving as a reminder of our inevitable fates if we didn't escape the facility.
Let's comb this room. Maybe there's something that'll help us,
I said. We searched the room from top to bottom, looking for anything useful. Documents, maps, maybe even a way towards the server room. We searched for what must have been at least 20 minutes and came up with nothing. Frustrated, I hit the wall beside me, venting my anger. We had come all this way just to end up at a dead end, deformed and hungry creatures hunting us, and one of our comrades was now dead as well. I walked towards the end of the room to find another door leading out and notified the rest of my team. The map on my wrist computer indicated that we were at the second lower level of the base, the level which held the crew quarters and solar radiation shelters.
This way,
I said.
We still have one more level to go. There should be an elevator on this floor that'll take us to the server room.
Amber nodded and took the lead. I drew my pistol and trailed behind her with Shino behind me in turn, walking down another corridor that would lead us towards the crew quarters. During our venture, my senses were at their limit. My ears tuned into the silence, desperately straining to hear the sound of claws against metal, footsteps behind us, or hands climbing through the vents that line the ceiling. My pistol was fully loaded. I only had 3 mags left, but if I made my mark each time, then I'd be okay. We eventually arrived at another door that happened to be an airlock, one that led to the surface outside, which was obscured in darkness from the crater. Only small amounts of light from the star above was able to reach through and just barely give us a visible path. I looked out the window to find that the surface was uneven. Cracks and openings within the lunar surface revealed bottomless pits that, if we weren't careful, we could fall in. On the opposite side, I could spot another airlock door.
Looks like we don't have a choice,
I said.
We'll just have to take a chance and hop across. Jun, it's not safe,
Shino countered.
Let's find another route. There is no other route. If we don't go now, then Ivan will have died for nothing.
I stared into Shino's eyes for a moment. Her shock at my statement made her realize that there was no changing my mind on our course of action. While Amber wasn't too fond of the idea, she also knew we had no other choice. We pulled down our faceplates and depressurized the airlock to walk out onto the moon's surface. Silence enveloped the space around me as I jumped from point to point, avoiding the wide cracks and subsequent boulders in my way. Amber trailed beside me, with Shino behind the two of us. We stopped at the center of the crater, just a few feet from the airlock, to catch our breath. At that moment, more trouble caught up with us. My helmet's detection system began picking up a reading from somewhere around us. I scanned our surroundings, but couldn't see anything. Even illuminating the area with my flashlight didn't help. And since we were in a vacuum, we couldn't hear anything. Amber then suddenly let out a yelp, causing me to look at my feet. A tentacle of sorts emerged from one of the cracks beside me and grabbed my leg, dragging me across the lunar surface and into the hole it came from. Shino and Amber both pulled on my arms as I reached for my utility knife and stabbed at the appendage, forcing it to let me go. As I got up, more of them surrounded us, followed by the appearance of more creatures emerging from above the crater wall and some from the cracks.
"Quickly,"
Amber said.
"Can they breathe out here?"
I asked.
"No, but judging by the state their bodies are in, they may not need oxygen to survive."
We leapt across the makeshift platforms that grew more and more apart from each other the more the tentacle followed us, as well as those creatures. Since the moon's gravity was identical to our planet's, I was able to move at a quicker pace and fire my weapon without the bullet being slowed by gravity. As we neared the airlock, we made a final jump across another wide gap, just barely making it. The same couldn't be said for Shino, who was hanging onto the ledge. I ran to help her up, only for some of the same tentacles to grab her leg and begin pulling on her.
"No, help me,"
she screamed.
"Commander, Jun, hang on, I've got you."
Me and Amber continued to fight against the tentacles' hold as the rocky terrain beneath our feet began to crumble and break apart. More creatures began to slowly make their way towards us, crawling across the broken surface gaps, surrounding us with the airlock door still shut behind us. I continued to pull and pull, but to no avail. Whatever monster was underneath the surface wouldn't let her go.
"Jun, we have to let go,"
Amber said, panicked and trying to get me to loosen my grab.
"No, I can get her,"
I shot back. The creatures around us were getting closer, silent but gnashing their teeth and bladed arms.
"It's no use. If we don't go now, then we all die."
I could see the fear in Shino's eyes as she looked up at me, maybe even a tear or two fall down her cheek as I continued to pull and pull. The creature beneath not giving in the slightest. Shino pleaded with us not to let go, stating over and over she didn't want to die, and continued to grip my arm, the tense atmosphere building up little by little as I continued to pull, fighting against my commander's decision. The ground began to violently shake as I tried to pull Shino out, her face now practically covered in tears as she screamed through her helmet.
"Damn it, I said we're going now,"
Amber said. At that moment, I could feel her foot kick at my hand, causing me to let go of my grip, as well as my sense of accomplishment. The ground crumbled as Amber pulled us to a more stable rock, Shino screaming my name through our comms as she was pulled into the darkness of the pit. The creatures grew closer than ever to us as we were now near the airlock, trapping us like rats in a corner.
"No, I had her. I had her."
Amber pulled me into the airlock as the surface was now coming apart, the creatures now practically at our doorstep as I helped her shut the door and pressurize the room. Once things had gone silent, I took my helmet off and fell to my knees, guilt-ridden and broken. Shino's face still within my mind as she pleaded for me to pull her out. At the same time, a volcano built up within my chest. My eyes pierced the commander's gaze as she extended a hand towards me.
"Are you okay? We should..."
I smacked her hand away, standing up.
"I had her,"
I shouted.
"She depended on me to get her out of there. If I just had another second, she wouldn't be dead and at the bottom of a hole."
Rage completely overtook me. Sorrow, grief. I continued shouting and arguing about why she didn't let me save Shino, our comrade who begged me to bring her out of death's hold, who was now taken by death themselves. It was as if watching your closest friend suddenly die in front of you and not being able to do anything to prevent the outcome. Seeing one's own judgment of death as the pendulum begins to descend lower and lower, eventually reaching its mark and sucking the life out of anything it touched. My comments eventually turned into outright insults towards Amber, and, with her authority as commander, a slap came across my face, followed by me being pushed against the wall behind me.
"How do you think I feel, huh?"
she countered.
"If I didn't stop you, then we would have all died, and where would have that gotten us? As the commander, I made a judgment call, and I chose to save you."
I remained silent. As much as I hated to admit it, her words stabbed me deeper than any sword could.
"You want to hate me for it? Then fine. But you don't understand how it feels to have that much placed on my shoulders. knowing that I caused her death to ensure at least some of us continued on.
More silence, her grip on me slowly receding as she backed away. Her pained look planted itself into my mind, as all aggression and violent impulses within me dissipated. I could only look down at my feet as I tried to respond. But more than anything, I had blamed myself for Shino. If I hadn't suggested we go across the surface, listening to her reasoning, then maybe she wouldn't be dead.
5 seconds. All I needed was 5 seconds and she'd still be here. I needed those to get us out of there,
Amber replied. I didn't have it in me anymore to fight. I picked up my helmet and began walking down the corridor towards another elevator cart, the very one that we needed to get to the server room. My mind, despite how much anger I still harbored towards my commander, was now set on finding out the truth of what happened to the space. Whether or not we completed the mission, I didn't care. All I cared about was learning the truth. The elevator ride down was dead silent. The only sounds coming from the creaks and bumps of the cart descending further into the depths, taking us down further from the safety of the surface, from our ship still in orbit. Amber tried to reach for my hand to talk, but my cold attitude and silence dissuaded her from further attempts.
Jen,
I said nothing. The elevator cart stopped and the door opened to reveal another hallway. At the end was another door, the very one we've been trying to reach this entire time. I walked towards the large steel structure and, using my wrist computer, hacked the keypad and the rotating locks came to life. We walked into a scene of pure astonishment. The sight of a quest completed. Around me were the servers, machines that held vast amounts of data from years ago, now still like statues, unactive and quiet. Looking around, I tried to find a power switch of sorts in hopes of turning the servers on. Instead, I found a single computer against the wall, beside another door. Sitting down at the desk, I could sense that this was it. I turned on the computer and scrolled through the loads of files. Most of them were just daily reports of day-to-day activities of what went on when the base was still active. Others were blueprints of various vehicles used on the lunar surface. As Amber was able to switch on the servers around us and gather the data we needed, I spent about 10 minutes scrolling through the files until I came upon the final one placed at the bottom of the list. I opened it, desperate to know what I'd find. It was a document. One longer than the previous one I read, one that, judging by how lengthy it was what I was looking for. I started from the top and read word for word what the doctor had left behind. What I read had me in such disbelief that it seems as though the universe was an even more dangerous place to live within. Dr. Jal, Final Entry Log, 2234. It is the end of the lunar program here, on this desolate and dangerous moon. The end of all of our lives and work, our flesh to be torn by the beasts we awakened, our souls to be liberated from our bodies. And these are my final words to you. You, whomever finds these words. During our time at the research facility, we encountered something strange and native to this rock. A pod of alien origin situated at the depths of a crater south of our outpost. A chrysalis that upon its discovery, I led a team of researchers towards the crater to study it further. We took it back and discovered that inside were spores. Spores containing some type of biological specimen that we had never seen before. Life that had cells as we did and exhibited traits similar to photosynthesis. It was an astounding find that would have garnered the attraction of all had we been able to study it further. Hopes that I now could only dream of happening. It was our 5th day with the specimen when things took a turn for the worst. A sickening memory that is ingrained into my mind. Like a stubborn thorn you just can't pluck out. I had gone down towards the lab where we kept the specimen to study it further. Except when me and my team arrived, instead, behind the glass was a creature the size of an Eos arthropod. An exoskeleton lined its back and arms, its legs long and hairy, and a tail with a spike at the end. We stared at it for several moments before it suddenly used its tail to break the glass that kept it. Jumping from its prison, the scientists in the room ran in a panic. One of them was pierced instantly. Another was stabbed through the heart. I grabbed my personal pistol at my hip and fired 3 rounds into the creature, killing it. I thought it was done, dead. But my troubles had only just begun. The 2 scientists it had killed, through some kind of reanimation, rose from the pools of their own blood and became disfigured, deformed. Their bodies reshaping themselves and their rib cages exposed, their skeletons partially muscled and sharp blades replacing their arms. I ran out of the room and towards the upper floors, locking them in the labs below and initiating a full lockdown of the facility. Even after revealing my work to the rest of the base and locking down the lower level, it did little to help. Eventually, they found a way towards us using the vents and unleashed their terror across the rest of the base. More and more of us were infected by the hour, so much that sections of the base had to be sealed off to keep the healthy ones safe. A day or 2 later, we contacted EOS for help, revealing our situation. They sent a rescue crew to us. It did little to ease our troubles. Before we knew it, the infection had already spread too much, the rescue crew finding themselves in our position, and all contact with EOS was lost. Hour after hour, more and more were infected and transformed into those creatures. Our friends, family, all of us. Eventually, I was among the 2 remaining lives left in the facility. My colleague Hannah joining me in the server room. For a brief period before she too would turn. I remember the fear in her eyes as she learned of her condition. The pain her body must have felt as it was contorted into a heinous thing that resembled the worst kind of terror. And I remember the bullets from my gun putting her down. Now, I'm all that's left. I write this in the server room for anyone who may someday find this. We did our duty as scientists, engineers, pilots, and people. We upheld our loyalty to our species and company in expanding our knowledge of the universe. Many of us had fought and died bravely, so please, don't let us be forgotten. And whomever finds this reading, the facility that houses these creatures must be destroyed. Well, that's it. I've given everything I've been able to give. I'm going to sneak back to the engineering room and wait it out for as long as I can. Even though I won't make it back, I refuse to end up like the others. Please, keep them from our home. This is Dr. Kenjal, signing off. I slumped back in my seat, letting out a sigh. My mind was calm and felt as if 1,000 years of mental agony was washed away. A wave of ocean poured down my shoulders as the truth made itself known to me. Amber and I met eyes as we both came upon the realization of what had to be done next. Upon stating that she retrieved the data we were sent to get, I replied with only 1 thought.
We have to destroy this place.
A hint of surprise in her eye, then a nod.
Yeah.
I fiddled through the computer as an alarm suddenly rang out above us. The AI voice indicating that multiple unregistered life forms were detected throughout the facility. There had to be more of them, and if we didn't move quickly, they would eventually find the server room.
The top brass did say this place had a self-destruct mode, right? Yeah, we'll burn this place to the ground.
Without thinking, and my nerves calmed, I scoured the database and found the self-destruct feature of the facility, setting the timer for 15 minutes, and then used my wrist computer to hack into the nearby hangar. Amber had finished downloading the data onto the hard drive, and we began to make our way towards the hangar, exiting through the corridor and walking down another abandoned hallway. The self-destruct timer counting down every second we moved, the sounds of the creatures growing closer and closer. We arrived at another hallway with rooms on either side, which were flooded with those things. One of them rushed me only to be gunned down by my pistol. Amber and I stood back to back for a few moments as we made our way to the door, shooting and killing more and more of them as they seemingly kept coming.
We're almost there,
I said.
Jen, we have to...
I turned back to see Amber cry out in pain as she fell to the ground, gripping her arm inside. The sight of her blood seeping through her hand caused my heart to beat faster as I rushed over to her side, kicking away the creature towering over her.
Come on, stay with me, we're almost there.
I struggled to pull her up as her arm went over my shoulder, more creatures trailing behind us. The air around me was as tense as ever as the door ahead of me. The door to safety felt so far away. It was as if time slowed and sound became muffled, an unbearable feeling that took all my best efforts to suppress.
John, I'm so sorry about Shino,
Amber said.
I understand if you still hate me for it. It's fine, I accept it. Stop talking, you're exhausting yourself,
I fired back. Amber's eyes had opened and closed several times as if she was trying to stay awake, her consciousness trapped between the worlds of living and dead. If we didn't hurry, then she wouldn't get out of here alive. My wrist computer alerted me that we had 8 minutes left to get out.
Jen, I won't make it. Get to the lander. Shut it. We're both leaving. Both of us.
I didn't care anymore. I had already lost 2 comrades, and I wasn't going back alone. Amber continued to hallucinate and speak nonsense until I placed her next to the door for a moment. Then, grabbing a nearby blade saw from a crate beside me, I rushed towards the creatures closing in on us and began hacking them down one by one, using every ounce of my strength to drive the demons away. Blood sprayed into the air all around us and screeches filled the small space. The tremors from each strike traveled up my arms, causing me to feel almost sick, but I managed to stay on my feet. Eventually, my action ceased once I realized I had killed more than enough of them in order to get away. And upon discarding the blade, I picked up my commander again. Rushing through the door, we arrived at long last to the hangar. Inside was one of the lunar rovers that, fortunately, was enclosed and still functional. After placing Amber on a stretcher inside, I used a material to temporarily patch the hole in her suit to maintain pressure. The hangar doors opened to reveal the surface outside, a beam of light shining through the tunnel as I floored the pedal and sped out of the facility with the pressurized vehicle.
Hang on!
Once outside, we were met with a familiar sight that encircled the facility behind me, a swarm of tentacles emerging from beneath the rocky and powdery surface. These, however, were longer and much more abundant than the ones that had killed Shino. I steered the rover steadily as I looked into the rearview camera on the dashboard. One of the tentacles had begun gaining on me. Luckily, I managed to outrun it thanks to a cluster of boulders I drove through, the rover bumping and creaking as it sped across the rocky surface, the lunar dust picking up around the vehicle as I neared the lander. To my utmost shock and surprise, Amber now stood behind me.
What are you doing? Lie back down, you're still bleeding.
She coughed, sitting in the passenger seat.
Don't worry about it, and thank you for everything.
I nodded, feeling a little better despite our current predicament. We arrived at the lander with only 2 minutes to spare until the facility would be engulfed in debris. I placed on our helmets and depressurized the cabin to depart towards our ship. Leaping onto the surface, I still had to help Amber, whose wound I couldn't treat until we got back into orbit. We trekked across the surface for a few feet, and I could see more of those creatures in the distance, most likely making their way towards us.
Come on, go!
I said, pushing Amber up into the ship. I climbed up the ladder as one of the tentacles made its presence known near our lander. Before closing the hatch, I unloaded the rest of my pistol ammunition into it. The silenced bullets hit each appendage in a different spot, drawing it away. Closing the door, I strapped Amber into her seat and pressurized the cabin, assuring her that we made it.
You okay?
I asked.
Yeah,
she smiled.
Jen, you are amazing.
I could only smile slightly and nod. Activating the controls, we launched into orbit with only a minute to spare. As the final countdown commenced, I looked out of the window beside me. Back down at the surface, I could see the host of tentacles. A large and massive creature emerging from beneath the surface, its anatomy in a similar fashion to the creature's, but on a large scale. Those intimidating yellow eyes watching as our lander ascended higher and higher as the timer on my wrist had finally reached 0. The next moment, I remember witnessing the blinding light obscuring my view of the surface, the light engulfing the facility and the creatures within it. The research base was now destroyed, obliterated by the bomb and launching debris into space above it. The explosion was quiet but deadly, and without oxygen to carry the flames, they were quickly snuffed out. The colossal-sized monster that continued to watch us escape the moon's surface was swallowed whole by the blinding light. Our lander shook briefly before coming to a calm and serene parking orbit around the moon.
Oh, crap, we made it,
I said to myself.
Hey, Amber?
She looked over to me.
Yeah? We made it.
We eventually caught up with the mothership and transferred over to the cockpit after removing my blood-covered spacesuit and treating Amber's wound. I assumed control from the onboard AI and activated the engines, breaking out of orbit and away from the moon and the gas giant. Once further into the void, I set a course for Eos and primed the warp drive. But not before taking a final look at the now desolate moon behind us. It was impossible to know for sure if all those things were finally gone, but I was happy that we were alive and headed back home after such a crucible. It's now been a year since the mission, since the public learned of the events, since the company had addressed the incident and had taken stricter measures to ensure that a similar event wouldn't occur again. As I mentioned before, I've been temporarily grounded from further deep space flights to recover from the mission. The same goes for Amber, who's been performing communication duties for a while. We remain on good terms, despite our altercation at the facility. As of now, I only conduct low-orbit missions and fly regular aircraft. But I know that sooner or later, I'll have to go back. My life has returned to a steady pace after experiencing an unimaginable trauma. But still, I can't shake that feeling. That feeling that there could be more of those alien parasites out there, possibly in our planetary system. And so, I write this in a personal log to whomever may read it, as I feel it's my duty to share what I know so no one has to experience my hell. The mission, which was supposed to be a routine checkup and gathering task, turned into the biggest nightmare of my entire life. And if those things can multiply into the numerous amounts that they were able to and become as large as that monster on the surface, would they be able to infect entire worlds? I don't know. So I leave you with this. When exploring the universe, always expect the unexpected. Thank you to Shin for submitting this terrifying tale. Stay tuned for more creepy stories. I hope you all have a good night.